it's time to watch The Muppets, the best and worst of season two.
Challenges to gain money to, you know, build a pot. At the end of the night, everybody has to sit at a round table and decide who they think is the traitor. And then unanimously, or, you know, come to a vote and vote out one person. And that person then has to leave. And when that person leaves, they can say, okay, you voted me out as a traitor, but I was a fucking faithful this whole time. You wasted the vote. We got to find, you know, you got to work harder to try to find the traitors.
This is a reality show?
Yes. And it's so much fun. So in the U.S., we do it here. In season one, they did it with half celebrities. And, like, by celebrities, I, of course, mean housewives of Atlanta and all this other shit. And then in season two, they did it with just, like, reality show celebrities.
Oh.
And then in the U.K., they do it with normal folks. But all of the seasons air on Peacock anyway, so you can watch all of them. They also have a version of it that's from New Zealand and a version from Australia. On Peacock. So I'm like, I don't know. All I'm doing is watching this fucking reality show. It's so much fun, though. And, like, the backstabbing and the betrayal and everything is
insane. What could they possibly be doing to each other?
So each day, they also are doing these challenges to build up a pot. And in the American one, the pot is of $250,000 is the max pot. In the UK one, it's $120,000, which is, like, not a lot of money for a reality show like that, you know?
But it's interesting. There's different laws in the UK.
Yeah.
And especially if it airs on the BBC, which is, like, public
television. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
Because I know RuPaul's Drag Race, they only give, like, a Ru-Peter badge instead of money for wins. And in the American one, they give away so much money.
I didn't even think of that because when you watch Bake Off, at the end of Bake Off, the winner of Bake Off gets a fucking pie plate with, like, your name engraved on it that you won Bake Off. And they clamor for it. And I'm like, you know what? Honestly, that show's been on for, like, 15 seasons. I want that. I would want that, too. You don't
I
need
know.
The money.
You want the pie plate.
Some of those people get, I'm sure, like, baking, like, you know, like, cookbook deals or whatever out of it, too. But, like, hell yeah, I want that pan. I want that that what do they call it? You know what I'm talking about? Like, the display plate or whatever.
RuPaul's Drag Race UK, it's definitely different from RuPaul's Drag Race US. Uh-huh. It's not better.
Yeah.
It's different, and I love it.
Is Ru, like, on that one, too?
Yes.
Wow, so
he stopped doing the Australia one, because they
That's
were,
too
like...
too much, man.
But they also... Well, his husband is from Australia, so they go down there. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's the queens. I don't know. The way they're recruiting these queens are, like, not the way he wants them to be.
Oh, so it's not the right shape for the show or whatever?
It's not the right shape for personality for him, vibe for him.
Interesting.
But he does. So now he does RuPaul's Drag Race US, RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars US. Uh-huh. He does. I think he does RuPaul's Queens versus the World. I don't know if he has a bunch of shows, and he does UK.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I mean, it's, when it comes down to it, it's like, it probably takes 2 weeks to film, and then it comes out, you know, like.
They're there for, like, weeks.
Really?
Yeah. They're there for,
it's,
like,
not all just done in, over the course of a couple days, you know?
No. Their challenges are, like, a week long.
Because, like, I watched the reality show House of Villains last year. And, like, you could tell they were trying to make it seem like a long time.
But it
had absolutely been, like, 9 days.
I wonder.
They just, like, rattle off these challenges. They do one whole day of challenges and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so maybe.
It seems like it's longer. And then, you know, and of course it airs over the course of 3 months or whatever.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. But it's a lot.
Because not on, on top of that. So he's doing all these extra seasons of this show, and then, like, also making appearances on everything.
Yeah.
You know?
And he wrote a book, and he's amazing.
He'll be the guest judge on America's Got Talent or something. You know, like, there's stuff, like...
I know.
There's
but
all
he does
stretched
it,
so thin.
It's, I love him so much, but he gave Michelle Visage his, like, sidekick, the Australia. So she's running...
Is that the woman with, like, dark hair?
She's from New Jersey.
Of course she is. She, Megan.
She's from...
If you would have said, guess what state she's from, I would have said she's from New Jersey. She's completely a New Jersey
person. I think
person.
She's from Plainfield.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
She's actually absolutely a New Jersey person. Leah Remini and her are best friends.
Oh, yeah, like, are they? Yeah. Yeah. Nope, that all
they're,
checks
they're
out.
They're, like, best friends.
Yep. Okay. So, Megan, it's time to talk about The Muppets. It's time to, woo, wait, woo, what? Woo. It's time to watch
season
The Muppets?
Season 2?
We're talking about season 2 today, the best of and the worst of season 2. All of our favorite things and our least favorite
good,
things.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
And there,
there
you
have
The Muppets season
the
2.
The Muppets season 2, baby.
So, Meg, do you want to jump in with anything positive right off
the beginning? Positive, I'm going to say we had like a strong... We had a lot of great guest stars on season 2.
Season 2 really did. Season 1, I remember us being like, who is this person? We're so young. We don't know.
We're so young.
And then season 2, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of familiar, even like familiar names. If you weren't familiar with like absolutely who they are. Like I remember here.
Don Knotts, Zero Mostel.
George
Milton
Burns is
Burrow.
Someone who I knew of. You know what I mean?
I didn't know Rich Little. Judy Collins knew. Nancy Walker didn't. Edgar Bergen, Steve Martin, Madeline Kahn, George Burns, Don DeLuise, Bernadette mm-hmm. Peters, Rudolph Nureyev. Oh, yeah, Rudolph Nureyev. Okay, Elton John,
Mr. Nureyev.
Lou Rawls, Cleo Lane, Julie Andrews, baby, J.P. Morgan, not who you think, Peter Sellers, Petunia Clark, Bob Hope, that's a great one, Teresa Brewer, John Cleese, Cloris Leachman, Chris Christopherson, and Rita Coolidge. Are these the people who like did like mimery? Leo Sayer. Oh no, that's I'm on season 3.
Chris, stop.
Actually, it stops with Cloris Leachman.
It ends with a fucking bang.
Oh, Zero Mostel passed not too long after this episode aired.
Really?
On season 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Aired. Okay.
Don Knotts. He was good. The gingerbread men sing Sweet Gingerbread Man in this episode.
And which one we're talking
Don Knotts.
Don Knotts.
I'm like sniffling in the mic. It is allergy season.
It is fucking allergy season. I did not.
Okay, I don't like this. Ralph the dog sings What a Wonderful World to a puppy. I mean, it's cute, but it's not for me. That's going
to
be on
to
the bottom.
A real puppy.
Yeah, real puppy.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
And it looks like a pound puppy, real puppy.
It does look like a pound puppy. I think that's, what do they call those? Is that a...
A droopy dog. Isn't that what they're called?
No, I almost said a snickerdoodle, but that's a cookie. Isn't this dog a snickerdoodle? I don't know. What am I thinking of?
The Electric Mayhem is surprised to find that Don is the bass player that Fozzie recruited, and he's playing a stand-up bass. That's pretty cool, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts is a fucking cool guy. Don Knotts famously died on my birthday.
Famously. Oh my goodness.
The closing number with Don Knotts and the band rendering.
I know for a fact when the Zero Mostel episode happened, I probably told a story about how I love that movie, The Front, with Zero Mostel.
Yes, you definitely told me the story.
It's not a
that.
Woody Allen movie, but Woody Allen is in it, and
that's
he's the
weird.
Front. He's the front.
Woody
so.
Allen is in it. Have you been listening to Newcomers this
Oh, okay.
recent season?
I listened to the Taxi Driver episode, but I didn't listen to anything else.
They just did one for The Last Waltz.
Okay, I'll
That just
I'll
came
listen.
Out this past week, and it was good.
It was good.
I had never seen The Last Waltz. Have you seen The Last Waltz?
No, I haven't seen it.
No.
Do
I feel
you
like
see
I don't
now?
Know why. You are my friend that watches movies.
Lauren.
That No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll watch like classic movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like you've seen every Scorsese.
Yeah.
Or at least just about, right?
I don't know.
The Last Waltz is the one that's like a music documentary about the band.
The band?
The band.
The band. I know the band.
Yeah.
But I never heard anybody call it the band.
I don't know why my inflection sucks so much there. But while I'm listening to the podcast, they're like, I like the band. And I was like, wait, so are they talking about the band or are they talking about like the band covered in the documentary? I'd never seen The Last Waltz and I did not know that like so many artists were in the band.
like that.
Oh, really?
Were famous. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very stupid. I don't like classic rock. I have no love for it in my heart. I know. You meant the way you turned. It was like you were fully backwards so that you could turn to me like this.
You learn something new all the time.
I have no love for classic rock.
You will never listen to a 104.3 song.
I can't. I can't listen to Eagles. I can't listen
to... No, I don't mean like the Eagles.
I can't listen to Chicago. Mm-mm. I can't do Boston. I can't do ELO. I'm trying to think of like other ones. Like, I can do Steely Dan? I can't do Steely Dan.
Why?
Oh, my God. Peg.
You got me reeling in.
Okay, maybe I can fuck with Steely Dan a little bit.
Or, Bodhisattva. Don't you need my
hair? All right, I might be fine with Steely Dan.
All right, Steely Dan.
But I can't do, I don't know. Like, that music does nothing for me.
Yeah, it's not, you're not a fan. So, like... doesn't bring you a nostalgia.
No, my oldies can
that's
just
not your
be like
4th of July.
No.
Beach Boys,
fine.
But
I like
they don't
the Beach
play
Boys.
That on 104.3. No.
But like the only like I like.
What's your old time? Like, what's your nostalgia music?
I would
what I'm
say,
asking.
Like,
without asking.
Like that, like post-punk new wave, like Talking Heads. I love Talking Heads.
Okay.
I love. I'll listen to The Replacements. I'll listen Ooh. To The Smiths. I mean, I know that we're hitting a point where that is old music at this point, you know?
Oh, no, that is all
like,
old music.
But, like, I can't do, like, I don't know. I can't do even, like, U2. They've got to be creeping in being a classic rock band at this point, right?
I mean, I don't know if I could ever do U2.
Mm-mm. But... Springsteen?
Oh, my God. Okay.
With Springsteen.
So, I have this, you see this, like, record thing mm-hmm. that's like a tape player and a CD player yeah. and a record player or whatever. I got this from Lisa's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my vacation tapes that my dad used to make when we went to the Outer Banks as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And they're on, you know, on tapes. He used to yeah. like make playlists. He used to make a tape for every
that's
year,
really
you
cool.
know, a front and a back to uh-huh. listen to the on the way down. And there was a Springsteen song on there that wasn't one of the main ones,
yeah.
but I was just like, all of these songs sound the fucking same. Bruce Springsteen.
Do you know how many songs he has about Cadillacs?
I'm not a Bruce. I'm sorry.
I can't do it. And, like, I feel like a dickhead because I'm from fucking Monmouth County.
I'm, like, all about, like, I'm like, know? Who's coming back to the pony? Good. You know,
yeah.
Bruce, that's where, you know, you started.
Like, we literally live in his, like, his field of vision, and I can't deal with it. Other day, there was an article on a local Facebook page because Bruce Springsteen got a flat tire in the next town over. And it was like, NJ.com reports Bruce Springsteen got a flat tire in Keyport. And it's like, oh, wow, on 35. He's just like us. He hit that horrible pothole.
Yeah.
Like, oh cool. Like, what are you supposed to do with that, you know?
He was at Seaside, not Seaside. He was at Sandy Hook drinking vodka on his motorcycle.
That was hilarious when he got it pulled over.
Okay, so they added eyelids to Piggy in this season. So
yes.
that's going to have to go one of my tops.
Don't do your tops and bottoms yet.
I'm not, but I... Okay.
Start gathering your tops and bottoms.
Maybe I'll write them down.
Okay. Gather your tops and bottoms.
A little note card here.
So in season two, one of my favorite episodes, Megan, was the Cloris Leachman episode. So in the Cloris Leachman episode, as it pertains to our podcast, we got Kermit the Pig. Megan, do you remember Kermit the Pig?
Oh, I do remember Kermit the Pig.
We also expressed tons of love for Brian J. Jones. I think we had hit the sweet spot in the Jim Henson book by this time.
We read the Jim Henson book in season one?
And season two.
Season
we had really hit the sweet spot there. We were talking about how we were going to draft a letter to him and basically, I guess, beg him to either be our friends or be on our show.
Okay, let's write him
like
a letter.
And he seems like he could be a cool dude. You want to write a letter?
Yeah.
I want to write
a handwritten letter.
We'll type it
first, and then we'll either mail that, or you'll write it, or we'll get your wife to write it or something. But
and
let's
send him
write
a nice
letter.
And see if, what?
He'll answer a couple questions. He'll maybe take a phone call with us, an email
that would
exchange
be
with
cool.
us, anything.
Yeah.
I think he'll do something. I mean, we're really big fans, so it's like, I want to know, do you know about this episode of The Muppets?
I want to know about the making of that book also. I could read a book about him interviewing people for the book.
I could also
or
read
doing
a book
any
about
research
that.
For that, you know. And
we'll just beg.
Do you know the Cloris Leachman episode was the second episode that had sound clips in it?
Really?
Where I incorporated clips. Yeah, technically the first episode with clips was the John Cleese episode, but I wasn't utilizing them properly, I don't think, yet. But, I, like, what is our show if we don't have the clips from the episode?
I think the clips are so important. It's so weird that you don't have the clips.
Yeah, especially when they're, like, maybe clips about, like, an old radio commercial that aired locally in our area when we were kids. That's
definitely
an essential.
It is an essential. Oh, my God. I know what my season two top is.
Yeah?
Yep.
So in season,
I know I was supposed to do this before you got here.
This was homework. This wasn't during you. You're waiting for the class every the teacher to go to every other student before you get yours out. You know.
Yeah.
Season two also had our best episode. This episode has the most downloads of any episode we've ever done, and that's the Elton John episode.
Well, I understand why it's Elton John.
The Elton John episode is like a quintessential episode of the Muppet Show.
Absolutely.
He does Crocodile Rock.
Actually, that was the best, though. I love that.
You know which one's really been sticking out to me right now that I'm thinking about? Is this in season two? Is Liberace in season two?
I don't think so.
Or maybe that was season three. Okay, sorry to jump the gun then. Zero Mostel was a really good one. Edgar Bergen, we got to see Candace Bergen's father do his characters. That was really cool. And it was cool to think about what that meant to Jim and company to work with him and with Charlie McCarthy.
Like an idol.
You know?
Did we talk about Goosebumps in that episode because of the puppet? Are dummies not terrifying, or that's only because of Goosebumps?
Oh, I think that they are kind of still terrifying. They all have, like, the same face always, no matter who. Like, I'm looking at these dummies, and I can see in them, like, Jeff Dunham's dummies. Like, Jeff Dunham has that one, like, simple, like, redneck dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of looks like the one Mortimer that they show later on, who, like, calls Fozzie Shirley and shit. They kind of look alike. Like, they always...
I enjoyed that guy. But he was, like, kind of like a drunk version.
Yeah, he was, like old simple drunk. And, like... Yeah. He looked like he... A lot of his shtick is, like, hiccups. Like,
Hang out with Lady Fairchild in the back room at Mr. Rogers. That's what they call it, by the way. They don't call it the land of make-believe. They call it the back room.
The back room. We're going to the back room. We're going to have some drinks with Lady Fairchild.
Roger keeps us in the back room. No, not Roger. Fred, I meant to say.
Maybe they call him Rogers. Yeah.
Why is that type of puppet always evil?
We had to have talked about Goosebumps. That episode...
What is that, a dummy?
A ventriloquist dummy. Charlie McCarthy is that ventriloquist dummy's name. And he is creepy. I don't know that there's a way... I think it's because they're so human-looking.
Oh, that wasn't the Edgar Bergen one?
Oh, yeah.
Charlie McCarthy is the character.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, oh my God, wait.
Yeah, that's the character.
Oh my God. That dummy is fucking freaky.
He's very freaky looking. The Steve Martin episode I remember being, kind of just fine.
Not
Do you remember
as good
that?
As the SNL one. King Tut.
Yeah. Definitely not as memorable. Are you looking forward to that movie?
The Saturday Night Live movie? Have we not talked about this yet? They're making a movie about the production of Saturday Night Live's first episode.
You're fucking kidding me.
And they have actors playing everyone, including Jim.
Wait, you did tell me this, and mm-hmm. I forgot completely.
I think it's called 1975. When did SNL first premiere its first season? 74?
75.
I think it's called SNL 75 or something like that. 1975.
Is it going to be released in the theater?
I hope so. I think it will be.
I need a big bowl of popcorn.
I definitely want to go see that opening night. Yeah.
And maybe some chocolate to put in my popcorn.
Like a peanut M&M?
Yeah. And then definitely watching that.
I just saw, I'm sorry to keep talking at you that it's my show today. But I watched. I went to go see Civil War in theaters last week.
Oh, yes. Tell me about this.
So I thought it sucked. It's one of those movies that, like, you know,
there's
going to
be
into
a video game about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Usually that looks like a movie that would be it. Have been a video game, but
it does
I bet
feel
you.
I think it's because it's just so current that it, like, I don't know, we are headed this way, but the movie doesn't take any stances.
it's all about the press covering the movie, the events rather, and it just feels like, I don't know, they never explain how the world got that way.
Oh, really? They don't Only tell you it, at all?
No.
Just like, oh, we're at war now.
Yes, and that the so you're California not even like... and Texas have seceded together.
Yeah.
Which is weird, right?
Yes. Well, they had to make it fictional somehow.
Yeah. And like, Kirsten Dunst, I've never seen her better. It sucks that I hated this movie so much, but she's so great in it.
I saw an interview with her, like a current interview, mm-hmm. talking about her house with yeah. the designer of her uh-huh. house that she's also like best friends with or really close with.
Uh-huh.
And her interview and like how she carries herself. And I just loved her.
Yeah. She's really great.
I hope she's in more things now.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I don't want to watch Civil War, but I want to watch
She's kind of
Kirsten
aging
Dunst.
Pretty gracefully.
She,
like,
I like the
I
way
saw the
she's
movie
aging.
With my aunt. My aunt was like, she looks so old. I'm like, you
no,
just turned 50,
great.
Dude. Like, people just are aging. Like, you know?
I think she looks great.
I think so, too. And the whole her whole presentation in that movie is very down. You know, she's just a photographer. Not just a photographer, but she's not... She's not glammed up in the movie, you know? It's just, she's like a work, she's working, she's covering a civil war. Why would you be, you know, like,
I think that this society, and I mean, I fall victim to it. I just got a peel the other day. That's why mm-hmm. I have no makeup on right now.
Yeah.
And, like, I got a VI peel to make, you know, this shitty layer of my skin come mm-hmm. off so that a nicer, younger layer appears. Mm-hmm. But... It's like people do age eventually.
Yeah.
You know, we can't all be Cher or Madonna or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
We can't all afford.
And that's what it comes down to.
Constant
is like,
Botox.
Yeah.
And some of us don't want to put it in our faces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally want to put it in my face. I'm just a person who can't spend their money on that.
Yeah.
Boo hoo.
But yeah, the movie, it like. Because it's about these photographers, they're like, what do you call it? They're like, they're press photographers. It seems like so much of it is just them being in the way also. Like, yeah. While like real work is being done and stuff. I don't know. The movie stressed me out for all the wrong reasons. And
so does she stick with that family?
It's not a family. It's her and her like, co-reporter who's more like an on-screen personality, it seems.
Okay.
The man who's with her, and then the young girl who's with her is like basically an up-and-comer who has always kind of followed Kirsten Dunst's character's work, you know?
Wow.
And like she kind of like weasels her way into their crew.
Oh, she's trying to learn.
Yeah
Okay.
That reminded me of Drop Dead Gorgeous. Remember how, like, in Drop Dead Gorgeous, Kirsten Dunst's character is obsessed with Diane Sawyer?
And she love
like,
that.
She talks all about Diane Sawyer. It reminded me of that. I'm like, this movie is a canonical sequel to that. She has transcended Diane Sawyer and now
totally.
Is taking on her own protege.
I love this. I love this theory, and I love when movies do that. I really, really do.
Like, when I was a kid, I used to think Demolition Man was a sequel to Speed. Because they both star Sandra Bullock, and I was dumb as shit as a kid, you know?
Demolition Man is such a good movie.
Demolition Man rules.
I love
There's a future.
That fucking movie.
There's a future I'll live in.
Okay, Wesley Snipes, Sandra Bullock,
mm-hmm.
What the
Dennis Leary
Dennis
is,
Leary,
first of all, is like
guy.
The bad
like,
guy,
guy
who's not
he
really
was
a bad guy.
Fucking awesome in that mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, that's a very cool movie.
And then Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, yeah.
It's
Rob
good.
Schneider
Rob
is in that
Schneider,
movie.
Yeah.
That movie's weird as
shit.
Oh
my god, I wonder if the boys would watch that. They'd be like, is it funny? It's not funny, right? It's just action.
Oh, no, it's definitely got humor in it.
Okay, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a funny
it's
movie.
Not like ha 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 funny. It's yeah. like a Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah, I think Ben would like it.
Yeah. It's got, I think the futurist angle of it is very interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that movie takes place in 2020 or something like that. You know, like, it definitely is like, oh, Megan, how could you ask if that movie's funny? The whole thing... It's like all restaurants have been taken over. It's fully
yeah,
campy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's campy.
All restaurants have been taken over by Taco Bell. Every restaurant means Taco Bell now. Yeah, there's like, it,
okay.
I don't know. There's a
Maybe
lot of
Maybe we
in
do.
It.
They thought, what's that movie that I made them watch? Oh, Idiocracy. They thought that movie was like the funniest movie in the world.
Oh, this definitely has Idiocracy like angles to it.
Oh my goodness.
So Meg, some of my negatives from this season as it pertains to our show were the Bob Hope episode. We really talked about what a bore Bob Hope was. He was bad. He was a bad sport. He was not fun. And we also discover Frank Oz's website in that episode. So we'd been reading the Jim Henson book and like talking back and forth about how much we would love to hear a book from Frank Oz, you know, and then I sent you his website, frankoz.com, and I'm looking at it right now, and all it is a landing page, and it says, "Hi, Frank Oz here. People keep asking me if I'm going to write a book about my experiences as a director and performer. I don't want to write a book. That's too hard. So for now, if anyone wants to know what's happening with me, best to go to @FrankOzJam on Twitter. As for this site, I'll let you know when I actually have something going on here in the future so I can share it with you, whatever the hell it is that I want to share with you. Thanks."
Very frank.
And you take the time to take, well, we both do together, really. We take down Kanye West in that episode.
We did? Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny.
We challenge whether or not he's done anything basically influential in the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I say I feel guilty for liking a couple of his songs?
I think you do, yeah.
I already know them. I'm not taking them off my running playlist.
But I remember asking you, like, putting your feet to the fire and being like, well, I don't seek them out. But, you know, like, there's a degree of songs, like, okay, I haven't listened to Cowboy Carter, you know?
Yeah.
But I've heard Texas Hold'em a handful of times in public, in real life, on the radio, through someone's car when they're driving by, something like that. You know, like, you can take in the culture through, like, osmosis, right? I can't think of a Kanye West song in the last 10 years that I know in that same format, in that same way, you know? We were talking, my wife and I, about Taylor Swift. She just put out another new album, and it just feels like she just keeps putting out albums, but none of them have anything that has any sort of staying power or influence beside the, like, the culture being obsessed with it, you know?
Obsessed. And listening to it. Like, at my job, they're just, like, playing it over and over again.
So you're hearing it through secondhand.
Yes. Okay. It's just, like, I'm like, okay, I get it. Taylor Swift came out with a new album. Like, yeah. Listen to it through. Fine.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I listen to the Cowboy Carter album too, because they just listen to it at work, but they are obsessed with the new Taylor Swift. They'll just put it on
the Tortured Poets
in
department.
The morning.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, I know she's good. I know, like, whatever, but it's just not. It's just doesn't.
And how is she so prolific? Yet they're not. Like I said, like, I don't know a damn song off of Folklore or Nevermore or whatever the Midnights, whatever
How
these albums
she
are.
She's so prolific, and everyone who listens to her is so basic.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Ooh, they're going to come for me. The Swifties are out.
The Swifties are coming for Megan's ass. Mm.
Don't come for me. How was the Madeline Kahn episode?
Let's click Madeline Kahn's episode.
I'm into electrical.
I
love Madeline Kahn.
Megan.
Oh, I like this frog thing.
Megan. The Madeline Kahn episode featured the Swedish chef with the lobsters. Swedish chef tries to cook a lobster who's rescued by three Spanish-speaking bandito lobsters.
Banditos.
That shit ruled. When the lobster had a gun. You remember that?
Yep. I think it's very funny when any of these characters have a gun. It only happens.
Me too.
It only happens once in a while, but we're like, what the fuck?
And he didn't even have like a little. He had like a gun, and he was a lobster. That episode, that was so funny.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. That, yeah. Okay. That looks like one of the only memorable moments to me.
Yeah, same.
From Madeline Kahn.
I mean, some of her outfits are cool.
Let's look at Petula Clark. Petula Clark.
I remember this episode being good. Hold on, let's find it. I already opened it.
Oh my goodness. When Petula sings, here we go. Petula sings Boy from Ipanema as one of the boss men dances by the shore. And the boss man was like one of those like freaky creeps with like the really long legs, you know?
Oh yeah.
That was a really cool number.
Her haircut is just, it reminds me of wrestling. She has like a wrestler's haircut.
She has a wrestler's haircut and of no determinant gender also, right? Like, that's just a wrestler's haircut.
I'm fine with
haircut.
That, but it is a wrestler's haircut.
She's giving off, real wrestler energy here.
And then, like, the gold outfit at the end. Oh, she is a wrestler. I don't know. Maybe this episode wasn't good.
Do you remember the chickens from this episode? The chickens star in a Western drama at the saloon.
Oh,
the black
chickens.
Rooster arrives with trouble for Sheriff T.R. the Rooster. They engage in a gun... Oh, this is another gun joke. They engage in a gun
duel.
They
had the gun.
But T.R. runs out quickly. The black rooster fires one final shot, which ricochets around the saloon before knocking him out with the lamp. Leo Sayer, who was that? Oh, that's season three. Damn it, Megan. John Cleese's episode. Let's skim through him now. Is this the one where he puts... Yeah.
I remember his episode being meh. Was it good?
No, I don't think so. Oh, he stretches out Gonzo's arms.
Okay, that's the best.
That
part.
I remember as being pretty funny. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the John Cleese episode was just okay. We had a really high expectations for him, for Steve Martin, for a lot of these like classic comedy guys, and
I remember George Burns perform. Smoked a cigar the entire time.
He George performed. Burns stayed smoking a cigar, and his episode was like fine too.
His episode was fine. I think the best part was that he smoked a cigar the whole time.
Is it Dom DeLuise that sang?
Dom DeLuise. Mm-hmm. He had high energy. Dom DeLuise gave it a good...
Dom DeLuise is a very funny physical comedian.
Yeah,
usually.
I mean, he definitely had a lot of energy to keep up with the energy of the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Petulia is such a peculiar name.
Petulia is peculiar.
We'll name her Petulia.
So, all right, as we're still skimming through these episodes, Megan, do you want to give us your tops and bottoms for this season?
Yeah, I'm going to give you your tops and the bottoms. Okay, one of my absolute tops that we did not discuss is Piggy does her Quanta Lagusta.
Does she?
Which is my absolute, like, probably my absolute favorite. It made me fall in love with Piggy. It made me fall in love with Frank Oz. I think I literally dropped dead on the floor more in love with Frank Oz after the Quanta
Lagusta.
Did
you drop dead on the floor, like, in that drag queen where, like, you're, what is that called?
Death drop?
Yeah, you did one of those when you saw it.
Or shablam.
You knew exactly what I meant, right? Where, like, the leg is, like, askew underneath you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I absolutely know what you mean. Oh, my God. Okay, so Quanta Lagusta, numero uno, definitely.
Okay.
Piggy's eyelids. They put eyelids on Piggy.
She got her, like, she is starting to achieve her final form.
Yeah. She has eyelids.
Like
she looks great. She looks great, great, great. Lubbock Lou was introduced in season two.
Oh, wow.
And the
Jug Huggers.
Love that. We get a lot of Sam. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but, like, you get way more Sam the Eagle than you did in the first season. I don't think
a little bit,
yeah. But you got to know him better.
Yeah,
season two,
mm-hmm.
And we got to know that Frank really enjoyed doing him.
Yeah.
Kermit the Pig. But really, that entire episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I put that episode at the top. The pigs take over. They rebel,
That's a very
after
strong
that
ending.
They don't. Maybe that's what happened. That
the
they
tide
stopped.
Turned.
Yes, they stopped mistreating the pigs after that.
All they had to do was have like stage a coup, basically.
And I'm glad they did because I love the pigs.
Where were all those pigs on January 6th? Do you think?
I think they're split on the issue. To be honest with you,
they're complete 50-50 split. Piggy was there though. She was there.
Smoking a cigarette.
Her and Kirstie Alley. Kirstie Alley was still alive at the time.
Oh, my God. So I learned a little bit. So I have a friend named Melanie, and she's a psychic.
Okay.
Psychic medium.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm, you know, I'm exploring her brain, and I'm like, what about this? What about this?
You shrug
like,
yourself down.
It's, exactly. I misfrizzled her. And now I forget totally what I was going to say because I have ADHD and I totally derailed. I was going to say, I've been picking her brain, and I wanted to relate it back to something I was talking about, but now I can't remember.
Miss Piggy, the pig's taking over January 6th.
Anything oh, there? Spirit guides.
Okay.
So I'm wondering. Thank you. I'm wondering if, like, Miss Piggy is connected to her spirit guide, who is Kirstie Alley.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. Of
well, I guess it wouldn't, because Kirstie Alley wasn't dead when Piggy was alive. Piggy's still alive.
Well, Piggy's still alive, but she's been interpreted by a few different actors.
Whoa, like, man! So maybe... I don't know what I'm saying. It's a time warp.
All right. Give us your bottoms, man.
Bottoms. I'm going to say Bob Hope was a bottom.
Yeah.
Because I was. I lost.
Megan declares right now Bob Hope was a bottom.
And George Burns, obviously a top, but that's the guy in his mouth. I liked the cat. Okay, bottoms, and we're not doing tops. I don't want to say anything negative about it. Okay, some of the bottoms for me were they're still working out their pacing.
Yeah.
Some of it was kind of corny. Some of it didn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sketches were still too long.
Yeah. It's down to pacing again. It's not a perfect series yet. It does get perfect. It truly does get perfect. But
they're finding gold moments in season two.
Yeah.
They're really sort of learning about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to say season two is pretty darn good as a whole.
Yeah.
What about you, Doug?
I think Julie Andrews, we haven't really touched on her.
Yeah.
Her episode was incredible. It really was. It was incredible.
And we learned that she did so much more for the Muppets, too.
Yeah.
She helped them start.
Yeah. I really liked season two a lot. Again, I have to say, Megan, I think my favorite thing about season two was doing this podcast with you.
Yeah,
I think
it
that was my
pretty
favorite
fun.
Thing about season two.
I wonder what job I had at season two.
Probably. Oh, I don't know. What? It's so weird to
I've
think about
so
that.
I've had so many different jobs.
That, yeah, right? Like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
But this podcast has been super consistent.
We're all in such different places in these old episodes. It's interesting to listen back to them and listen
you
to...
You still worked at Anderson.
I did. And somehow I worked two jobs, had two podcasts.
Yeah.
It made it all work.
Now you do a lot more for the store, and you do a lot for the town.
Yeah.
Right?
I am still busy. I have less podcasts.
I feel like you're very busy.
Yeah. Making myself crazy.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do in our 30s, right? Is make ourselves insane.
I know. We have the energy.
Yeah.
You know, we're bored of just going out.
Yeah,
and
that 40s burnout is coming.
Yeah.
So we have to just chase it.
Go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Don't stop till we're or we'll die.
Don't stop taking
in a post stop. All right, Megan, all around season two, I think we enjoyed, but season three, it only gets better. So join us next week as we unpack our bests. And I mean, we're just going to talk about the Gilda Radner episode, basically, right?
Well, that one I know is going to be the
Gene
best
Stapleton,
episode.
Harry Belafonte, Danny Kaye.
Wow, Harry Belafonte, that's an epic classic episode. Yeah, season three is pretty damn fucking good.
Sylvester Stallone. And we're not going to be able to shut up next week.
I promise, on my honor, I will try.
You're going to do the homework?
To do the homework and come prepared.
And so until next week, watch all of season three of The Muppet Show.
Let's
and then meet
go.
Us back here to talk all about season
Crystal
three.
Crystal Gale.
James
oh, no, that's,
Coco.
And guess what? That's season four.
Marissa Berenson,
oh,
Megan.
God.
All right, we're going to have fun next
Thanks
week.
For the Gumball Season 2.
First, I have to say.
Oh, message us.
Follow us
Reach
online
out.
At ITTWTM.
Hands up, baby, hands up. Wait, is Big Bird?
Message us.
A guest on Season 3?
Is that with Leslie? Yeah, Leslie Uggams with Big Bird.
Because
okay.
Because Big Bird is in Season 3.
Until next week.
Come back for it.
Follow us on social media at ITTWTM. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Message us. And until next week.
Thanks for the Gumball Season 2.